We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Journaling your thoughts after a hard day of work is a good way to relieve stress. Posting those thoughts on Facebook isn't such a good idea. Bricks are a great choice for building a strong building. But a brick isn't a good choice for a meal. Bring your child to work day is a great way to teach them about your job. Letting them do your job isn't such a good idea. Life requires that you know what is and what isn't.
I am so glad to be with you. My name is Marshall Blessing. I'm the care pastor here at Redemption Church. I just got back from Florida. I was traveling, but I'm very glad to be back at my church home, and I'm very glad to have fellowship with each of you. This is our Isn't sermon series. We're continuing that today. If you missed any of the previous messages, they're available online. You can catch them on our website. I encourage you to check those out. And if you liked them, if you got something out of them, maybe share it with somebody. Direct somebody else to go check them out. They are powerful messages. If you're watching us online right now, thank you. Thank you for being here. Share it. Like it. Let us know you're out there. If you're watching us on Facebook Live, leave a comment. We really appreciate you. We're glad we were able to connect with you today. This is our Is, Isn't sermon series. So far, we have talked about who Jesus is and who Jesus isn't. And last week, Pastor Chris told us about what the church is and what the church isn't. It's very important to know what is and what isn't. All right? Y'all following me?
Yes.
All right. I tend to be lively. If you need to shake your... All right. It's very important that you know what is and what isn't. There you go. All right. Because that way you know what you have. All right? This is the entire premise behind the Antiques Roadshow TV series and all of those pawn store shows. People take their stuff to the Antiques Roadshow and they think they know what it is, but they want to have it evaluated by an expert and get it appraised so they can be told what it really is, what it's really worth. And sometimes you got some guy, I found this comic book stuff behind the mattress in my great-grandma's house. And they're like, this is an original Superman number one issue, and it's in near mint condition. This is worth $1 million. Oh, gosh, I was going to put it in my birdcage. Like, he almost missed out on something very valuable because he didn't know what it is. Or then other times you got the poor guy who's like, yes, this is my precious Tiffany lamp. It is an original. I'm hoping to get at least $20,000 for it. And then he gives it to the appraiser, and the appraiser, oh, no, see here it says great value. This is a Walmart lamp. I believe they're retailing for $19.95. You might be able to get store credit if you take it, there's one down the street. So you need to know what is and what isn't so that you know what you have. All right? You may have heard my wife and I are blessed. We're expecting our second child. Woo! Yay! All glory to God. Praise God. He's wonderful. Well, in pregnancy, it's important to know what is and what isn't. All right? When you're getting gendered baby stuff, you need to know what is. But we're trying to be real careful. There's a lot of things that pregnant women shouldn't be exposed to. Medicines, foods, different products. And so we need to know what is safe and what isn't. So we know what we have and what we need to get. When you have kids, you end up with lots of stuff and you constantly have to cull through it to know, do I need to get more baby clothes, more onesies? Wait, What is there? What isn't there? What do we have? I've got a car seat. Oh, but it is expired. Did you know that car seats can expire like a can or something, a grocery? So, yeah. Oh, so we don't have a car seat. All right, we need to figure that out. All right. And when it comes to pregnancy, you always need to be very careful and know what is and isn't. Because if you go up to a woman and you say, hey, congratulations, when is the baby due? And she says, I'm not pregnant.
That's bad.
Then you're going to have a very awkward situation very soon. Yeah, that's right. You is in trouble. All right? And it works the same way with church. Pastor Chris talked about what the church is and what the church isn't. You may have a beautiful building that you go to every week. It's beautiful and ornate. But if you don't connect with other people there, if you don't connect with God there, then that really isn't your church. You don't really have a church. You need to work that out. In fact, you can go to a beautiful building with lots and lots of people, several of your closest friends, and you're all together, you're all excited, you're all celebrating, and you're all united in what's going on, and you even lay some money down, and you go there week after week. But that, if God's not a part of it, that could be AT&T Stadium. All right? I mean, what's the difference? What you need to know what is and what isn't, so you know what you have. So this week, we're going to be talking about faith. What faith is and what faith isn't. But fortunately, I can tell you from the start, you already have faith. Faith is already within you. All right? But what is faith? Let's start off from the ground floor. What is faith? Faith isn't just a George Michael song. It's an all right song, but it's more than that. Faith is trust in something, confidence. If you want to learn more about faith and what it is, there's a book series you might be interested in picking up. I would encourage you to check it out. It's commonly known as the Bible. All right? It's a bunch of books all put together. And it talks a lot about faith. And in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter is known as the faith chapter. So if we want to know what faith is, seems like a good place to start to turn to the Bible, the book that's all about faith, and go to the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. And let's start off at verse 1. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. All right? It doesn't take a lot of faith to believe in something that's right in front of your nose. I know that this stand is here. I don't have to take that on faith. But in order to believe and have confidence in things that we can't see, that's where faith comes in. And everyone has faith. You have faith. Turn to somebody and tell them, you have faith. You have faith. I can say that universally. This may be the first time you've ever been in a church. You have faith. There could be an avowed atheist watching online who just accidentally clicked on the wrong video. You have faith. And thank you for sticking with us this long. Please don't tune us out. It may not be in God, but everybody has faith in something. Because we were made to have faith. We were made to trust in things that we can't see. The Bible talks about it in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul's letter to the Romans talks about the measure of faith that God has given you. God has given a measure of faith, an amount of faith to everyone, an ability to believe in things that we do not see. Everybody has faith in something. Let's do a quick test. That's just to make sure. All right. Who here today, when you got out of bed, had to take a time out? You had to look over the edge of the bed, make sure the floor was still there, maybe tap on it, make sure it's solid, so that when you step out of bed, you could be sure that you weren't just going to sink through the floor and go down to the core of the earth and be lost forever. Anybody? Show of hands? Give us a like if that was you. All right? No? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Here. Let's try this. Who here is making preparations in case the sun doesn't rise tomorrow? Because that's going to be real bad. There's a lot of things, like it's going to get cold, you'll need blankets. Nobody? Nobody's getting ready? No, because we trust that the sun's going to rise. There are certain things that we have faith in. The floor is going to be there to catch us when we step out of bed. Everybody has faith in something. But when the Bible talks about faith, it's often referring to faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ, because He is the most real thing that you can put your faith in.
That's right.
To people who don't know God, that might sound weird or contrary or, nah, I got the floor right underneath me. No, God is the most real thing, the most trustworthy thing, the most established thing that you can put your faith in. You can trust in a lot of things. You can trust in yourself. You can trust in your friends or your family. You can trust in your bank account. You can trust in your job, that it'll be there for you. You can trust in your car, that it's going to work. But who made all of those things?
God.
Ultimately, the Lord God is the source of everything. You can trust that the sun is going to rise tomorrow. Who made it? Not only did God make it, He existed before it did. He will exist long after it burns out. He existed before the whole universe. He made it all, and He is trustworthy and true. He is the basis of reality, and He is the most real thing that you can put your trust in. Unfortunately, our faith is often misplaced because we put our faith in things that aren't as trustworthy. We do need to trust each other and trust certain things, but nothing will be as faithful and trustworthy as God. And it's always a shock when something lets us down. As I mentioned, I just got back from Florida. I put a lot of faith in my car. I try to take good care of it. We drove it to Florida and back. But every morning when I go to work, I just assume I stick the key in, start it up, and it's going to take me to work. Well, we're there in Florida, and my wife and I went to go get groceries one day and thought nothing of it, hop in the car, key in, vroom, click, 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 click. That happens sometimes, right? Click, 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 click. It wouldn't start up. And it was a real shock. I was like, oh man, this could be bad. My car broke and I'm 1,700 miles away from home. Thankfully, it was just the battery. But whenever we put our trust in anything other than God, there is the potential that it could let us down. But God never will. So I ask you, what do you put your trust in? What do you put your trust in? Where is your faith? That's an interesting question. And it's one that Jesus actually asked his disciples in the Gospels. Jesus would ask them, where is your faith? For instance, they were out crossing the Sea of Galilee on a boat when a storm came up and was tossing the boat, and it was getting really violent, and they were worried that the boat was going to capsize and they were all going to drown. This storm could tear the boat apart. This is bad. Where's Jesus? Well, Jesus was asleep below decks. So they woke him up and they said, Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? And so he got up and he calmed the storm. But then he turned to them and he said, where is your faith? Oh, ye of little faith, where are you putting your faith that you think you're going to die here? Because he knew they had faith. They had faith in their boat, that it was a good, sturdy boat, and it was going to get them across the lake until that storm came up. And then they kind of had faith that that's a powerful storm, and you don't make it through storms like this. We're going to die. But fortunately, they thought of Jesus and brought him into the situation. That's where their faith should have been the whole time. Where is your faith? But faith in Christ isn't easy. Faith is a struggle. The world tries to tell us that our faith in Jesus Christ is silly, useless, it's a mythology. It's old-fashioned. You don't need that anymore. That's just old, dumb legends. It's a book. That's for the dumb people who don't know how to behave themselves. They got to tell themselves stories to keep them in line. Or worse, the world tries to tell us now that faith is harmful. It, like, is bad for you. It makes the world a worse place. Lies of the devil. Faith isn't silly. It's very serious. We place our faith in God. We trust in the creator of the universe, that he's there with us and that he can help us through the situations we face. And it's not a silly thing. Faith is a struggle. It's actually a difficult thing sometimes to stand up to the pressures of this world that tell you, no, God's not real. No, you don't need to behave that way. No, you just have fun and live it up, because this is all there is. We got fun material stuff down here and nobody's going to know. No, we have faith that that's not the way we should live, and that God is calling us to a higher purpose. Faith isn't silly. Last month, our scripture memory verse was 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Amen. That's awesome. Athletes work very hard all the time to get their bodies into physical condition so that when they compete, when they're put to the test, they will be able to overcome and win some trophy or some fame or something temporary. But they work really hard for a long time, very consistently. They have to keep working to stay in good shape. But they are working to ultimately earn something that will not last. How much more important is it that we work to build our faith, to strengthen our faith, because we're working towards something that will last forever. Amen? Amen. We have to exercise our faith. We have to work through the struggle to strengthen our faith. At times, we have to stretch our faith. There's things that feel uncomfortable to us, but God's calling us to do them. And so we got to get out of that comfort zone and reach, because we believe in the one that calls us to share his love with the world. All right? It's a struggle. It's difficult at times. But it's rewarding. It blesses us. It benefits us. Over time, as your faith gets stronger, that thing that seemed like really out there at first, now it's not that bad. Now there's another thing that's, it's even further. But we can make it there. We ultimately can do great things, incredible things in the kingdom of God, step by step, by exercising and building our faith. It's important that we do that. The world tries to tell you that faith in Jesus is silly, but it's not. The world says, well, you can't explain everything. How does it work? How does he bring people back from the dead? How is it that when you pray, the words you're talking to God go somewhere and then he acts on it and like does stuff in the world? How does that work? Explain it to me. Show it to me. Faith isn't having all the answers. Faith is trusting in God. Faith doesn't mean you have a complete understanding of who God is. Faith doesn't mean you know everything that there is to know about God. All right? I'm an engineer. I work as an engineer. I like to know how things work, to take them apart and understand, how does this happen? What's going on here? But you can't completely understand God. You will never completely understand God, and neither will I. And that's not a fault. I'm not picking on you. God is infinite. We're not. There's always something new to discover in God. There's always new ways to relate to God, new things to learn about Him, new things to experience in Him. So the excuse that, well, you can't explain it all, so it must be wrong, that's nonsense. If you're waiting to completely understand God before you will come to faith in Him, then you will never come to faith in Him. But since when do you completely understand something before you trust in it? Do you understand all the interworkings of the subatomic particles that make up the atoms and molecules of the floor before you step on it? Do you need a quantum physics class before you'll take a step out of bed? Do you understand the orbital mechanics of exactly how the sun keeps the earth in its orbit and exactly where it's going to... No, but the sun rises and we trust it's going to come up tomorrow morning. I don't completely understand how my car works, but I trust that it's going to get me to work. So we don't need to completely understand absolutely everything about God. We just need to know Him. That's the first step. The Bible says we do need to be prepared to give an answer for our hope. That's the question you got to answer. You need to be able to tell people how you know God and why you put your trust in Him. That's the important part. If you can share that with people, you got it. You're set. They might ask you questions. Well, in the Bible, there's one part where the sun stood still, but the sun doesn't move, so how does that work? I don't know, but I know God. I've experienced His love. It's amazing, and I know that He loves you too. And because of that, I love you too. So, we will never completely understand God, but we can still have faith in Him. Faith isn't having all the answers. But that can be difficult too. In his letter, in his first letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul encouraged him to fight the good fight of faith. Frequently throughout his epistles, Paul used this fighting imagery. We got to fight the good fight of faith. I've run the race. I've fought the fight because, as I said before, faith is a struggle. Sometimes the person I struggle with the most about my faith is myself. Because I like to have answers. I like to know what's going on. I don't always get to with God, but that's okay. Coming to accept that was a challenge. But he's much smarter than I am. He's much bigger and wiser. And so it's okay that he knows stuff that I may never know. But we struggle within ourselves to maintain our faith, to strengthen our faith, and to live out our faith. Because as we're going about our daily life, I know what I should do, but I also know what I want to do. And so, we have to struggle and work to keep ourselves on the right path. We don't get to decide, oh, I'm going to have faith today and not tomorrow. Okay, is it Sunday already? Oh, man, okay. What's the football game playing tonight? I don't care. I'll go to church today. Today's a good day. I'm going to have faith today. All right. Get to church. Uh-oh, here comes the collection plate. I don't have that much faith. All right, so that's, I don't have faith now. And then you leave church and, oh man, here comes a guy. He looks like he's in need. He looks kind of scruffy. He looks like he might smell bad. He looks like he might want more from me than I'm really willing to give. Don't have faith right now, but tomorrow I'm going to have double faith. Don't worry, it's good. We faith isn't a decision. Faith isn't a choice. It's not a personal preference. I don't want to have faith right now. I think I will believe this today. That's not faith. Faith isn't just mental assent. It's not just a mental activity. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he died for my sins. All right. I thought the thought. I said it. I'm good. I have faith. I'm faithful. I did it. Right? I believe that. It's still up here. That's not all that faith is. Faith isn't just a mental activity. Faith is part of who we are. Faith is a part of how we live our lives. Faith should motivate us and direct us in all that we do. Faith moves you even when you don't want to be moved sometimes. All right? It does. Okay, so, yeah. Amen. Faith moves you even when you don't want to be moved. Faith stirs you and draws you to places that you might not want to go. Let's look back at the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the faith chapter. It's full of a list of people from the Bible. And they're all sort of described in the same format. It says, by faith, person did this thing. And it lists person after person from the Bible. By faith, Abraham left Ur and went to a land that God would show him. Just on faith, he left his family and just started traveling. He didn't even know where he was going. God just said, I'll let you know when you get there. And he did it on faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Enoch. It's list person after person after person, and it's things that they did by faith. Faith moved them to do these things. Faith should be active. And faith isn't invisible. Now that might sound weird. In fact, we just read Hebrews 11:1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Invisible. Yeah, it's saying that you can have faith in things that are invisible. It's not saying that your faith is invisible. All right? In the Gospels, it frequently says that Jesus looked upon people's faith. Yeah. All right? This isn't a magical God power. Jesus is fully God and fully human. This isn't like something special that only he could do. No, you can look on people's faith. You can see when people are faithful. For instance, Jesus was teaching in a house, and it was jam-packed full of people. They all wanted to hear him, and you couldn't get to him. But a couple of guys had a friend who was paralyzed, and they knew, they believed, that if they could just get their friend to Jesus, he could heal that paralyzed man. The problem was they couldn't get into the house. So they climbed up onto the roof, they cut a hole in the roof, and they lowered their friend down on a cot in front of Jesus. And it says that Jesus looked on their faith, not even the faith of the man. He looked on their faith, and then he healed that man. He could see what great faith they had in him. So faith is visible. You can see it because it should be active. Faith is active. Faith is a living thing. Are you aware of this? The Bible says in the book of James that faith without works is dead. If faith can be dead, then it can be alive. We want an alive faith. We should have a living, thriving faith. Our faith needs to be alive. Faith is a living thing. In a way, I've heard some sharks have to keep swimming in order to stay alive. They have to keep moving to keep water moving over their gills so they can breathe. And if they ever stop, then they start to die. In the same way, our faith needs to remain active. Otherwise, it starts to die. We've got to keep working and acting on our faith every day to strengthen it. We can't like, oh, I'm going to take a day off and not believe. It's not good. It's not healthy for our spiritual life. We've got to be working and acting on our faith every day. Our faith should be visible in our life every day. Faith isn't just a mental activity. You can't like just go thinking faithful thoughts every day and then live your life the way you would have otherwise. That's not faith. At work, some of my friends have conversations. Once one of them said something to the effect of, I would do that. I could do that, but I won't. And another of my coworkers said, well, then you really can't because you can't motivate yourself to do it. And he said, no, I can do that. I just won't. I'm not going to do that. Yeah, prove it. I mean, well, faith is sort of the same way. I mean, you can't say, I believe that I should do that, but I'm not gonna.
All right.
That's not faith.
Man, that's good.
Our faith should move us to live out these things that we believe about God and about who we're called to be in the world.
Right on.
All right? Here's a couple other misconceptions about faith. Faith isn't a checklist. And it's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. Once again, I'm an engineer. I like checklists. They help you be thorough. You do this, you do this, you do this, and then you know when you're done. When you got all the boxes checked, you're done, it's good. I like checklists. But faith isn't a checklist. It's not a list of rules. There are things you'll be called to do in your faith that you would have never, ever conceived of putting on a checklist. There's never a done with your faith. You're always living out your faith. You're always growing in your faith, working to become more faithful, more like Jesus. And you can't like say, whoa, I did my faith today, so I get to go off and do whatever I want. It's not like that. Faith isn't a checklist. I read my Bible today. I prayed twice. I went to church and I put money in the offering. I'm faithful. No. We're called to live out our faith every day. And then sometimes people treat faith like kind of like a magic wand or some kind of magic lamp that, oh, if you got enough faith, God will have to do whatever you're asking him to do. Oh, brother, if you just have faith, that new Ferrari will be pulling up to your house any minute now. All right, church, come on, let's get together. Have faith and money's just going to rain down from the sky. It's going to be so good, all right? That's good, yeah. That's not how it works. That's not faith. We're not, I guess in a way you're sort of trusting in something that you don't yet see, but it's not, you can't compel God to do whatever you want just by having enough faith. Because the flip side of that is awful. If you're having problems, it must be because you don't have enough faith.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I'm really sorry you're going through this difficult thing. Have some more faith, man. You must not have enough faith, otherwise that wouldn't have happened to you. And that's a terrible thing. Don't ever say that to anybody. Because when you're going through difficult times, they can cause you to start to question your faith. And then somebody tells you, oh, you don't have enough faith, and that's why you're going through difficult times. It's like a vicious cycle. It just goes down and down and down. No, not at all. Faith does not guarantee a problem-free life. Pastor Chris mentioned this earlier today in the sermon. Having faith doesn't promise us that we're on easy street from now on. It doesn't mean no problems are ever going to come our way ever again. I gave my life over to Jesus, and now the rest of my life's easy, easy breezy, one, two, threesy. Nope. It doesn't work like that. In fact, here it is, my favorite verse. Jesus tells his disciples, in this world, you will have problems. Inspirational message. But think about it. This was the night before he was crucified. He's in the garden with his disciples. These were the men that had been with him throughout his ministry. They had seen him perform miracles. They had confessed that he is the Son of God. At that time, these men should have been the most faithful men on the surface of the planet Earth. And he tells them, in this world, you will have problems. And it came to pass. They had problems in their life. They suffered terrible things.
Yeah.
But there's more to that verse.
Yeah. Come on.
It starts out, this is in the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33. It's my favorite verse. I tell you these things so that in me you may have peace. You can trust in me. You can trust in this. Have confidence. Have faith. In this world, you will have problems, but take heart, for I have overcome the world, and you can trust in that. You can have faith in that. When we encounter problems, when we have struggles, when we're going through difficult times, our faith tells us that Jesus is right there with us, helping us through. Our faith is what helps us get through those struggles and those problems. Our faith equips us and enables us to help other people who are going through similar problems, to help them along and lift them up and keep moving on toward Him. Faith doesn't guarantee a problem-free life. Faith helps us through the problems in our life. It helps us get beyond them.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, God. If our musician could come. Faith is powerful. Can I get an amen on that one?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Faith is powerful. We sang earlier today,
I've seen God move mountains. That's one of the first verses I think of when we talk about faith. If you had faith the size of a grain of mustard, you could move mountains. You could speak to this tree and it would be cast into the ocean. I haven't seen a lot of mountains moved lately, but He has moved mountains. He has done mighty things, and it is through faith. These verses are telling us that incredible things are possible when we have faith in God. It's not us. It's not like the force that I've got faith and I can move things with my faith. We have faith in God that He can do the incredible things that need being done. Amen. Praise God. And of all the incredible things, moving mountains, moving storms, whatever, one of the most incredible things, the most powerful things that God could do is changing our heart, moving us to become better and more like His Son, saving us from hell and bringing us into His kingdom. Faith does that. It transforms us. If I got enough bulldozers, I could move a mountain, but I couldn't change any one of your hearts. But God can through faith. Faith is powerful. So it sounds like faith's important, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I would tell you faith is essential. It's necessary. We need it. We have to have it. And here's why. For many reasons, but this one in particular. Let's go back to the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. If we look at verse 6, it starts out, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." You could be a great person. You could do all kinds of wonderful things throughout your whole life. But without faith, if you're not doing them out of faith in God, it's impossible to please God. And if you believe in God, if you believe He exists and He created everything, He created you and all the things you enjoy in your whole life, and He saved you, if you believe in Jesus Christ that through His sacrifice He saved us, then why would you not want to please Him? After all He's done for me, I love God. I want to please Him. I want to do things that make Him happy. But without faith, it is impossible for me to do anything that pleases God. So that sounds pretty daunting. That sounds like, whoa. Okay, we got to get this faith, man. Where do we get it? Where? What do we do? What then shall we do, brothers? Well, let's continue reading. "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Those are the seeds of faith. I don't know where you're at in your faith life. If you're hearing this message and you've never really had faith in God, you don't know where to start. You start right here. You believe that He exists and that if you're searching for Him, He will reward your search. And that's faith. And that's pleasing to God. That's the start of this incredible, powerful thing that can grow in your life and transform your life into the glorious image of Jesus Christ. If you need mountains moved in your life, you start right here, believing that He exists and that if you search for Him, He will reward your search. But if you're in this place, if you're hearing this message and you have faith in God, yeah, I know God. I have faith. I believe in Him. I'm trying to live out my faith. Then I would challenge you, where is He calling you to grow in your faith today? How is your faith being active today? Where are you stretching and moving out into new areas, things you've not done before? We do three things every time we gather. We're about to do the third one. At the end of service every week, we invite everybody to come forward and spend some time talking to God. I encourage you, step out on faith. Faith is active. Let it move you today. Step out and reach out to Him. We believe that when we talk to Him, when we pray, He hears us. He cares about us. And He is here to communicate with you. These altars are open. Please come and spend some time talking to God. God rewards those who earnestly seek Him.
For more information about redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.